Hi, thanks for joining us online. We're glad that you've chosen to access this message. It's so encouraging to know that God is using the ministry of Portico Community Church to touch the hearts and lives of people all across the world. If you have a story to share or a prayer request, we would love to hear from you at info@porticocanada.ca. To support our ministry, you can donate online by clicking on the donate button at the top right of your screen. Once again, we're so glad that you've joined us. It's our prayer that this message from God's Word will deeply impact your life.
Yesterday, I drove my daughter, or we as a family drove our younger one to Laurier and dropped her as she was starting her university. And that was difficult. Kind of the ride back is difficult. After you drop them and you're driving, nobody talks in the car. Everybody's trying to process it. So that was tough. And I know for some of you, you are going back to another year in university or college, or you're going back to school, so it's the start of a new year for you, or we are approaching fall. So in the light of that, we thought we will cover wisdom as part of the sermon today, and I will give you four things from the Word of God that can change your life. If you've done what you've always done, chances are you will get what you've always got. And for some of you, that is not acceptable. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Do not conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed, and hear this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that. If you want to change your life, you need to listen, observe, and learn. All of us have around 16 hours a day when we are awake. Both the successful and the not so successful, we all have the same number of hours. What we do with time, how we are with time, good stewards of time, is important. But how we tackle life, the ups and downs in life, a lot of that is determined on the renewing of your mind. That's the key. So let me illustrate this for you. On 6th of May 1954, Roger Bannister, a 25-year-old British medical student, became the first man to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. He achieved a time of 3 minutes 59.4 seconds. He ran this in Oxford. In fact, it's called the Oxford Track. The race he ran, it's called the Miracle Mile he ran, because he broke the barrier of 4 minutes. It was a common belief before that no man could run a mile in less than 4 minutes. 46 days later, only 46 days later, John Landy from Australia improved on the timing by running it in 3 minutes and 57.9 seconds. What happened? The mindset had changed. That's really what took place. In fact, after John Landy ran this, 6 other people ran the mile in less than 4 minutes. 6 of them. It is incredible that when we change our mindset, our outlook, when we look to God's Word and allow it to change the way we look at things, incredible possibilities open up. Amen. And it is my hope today that as we dive into God's Word, that it will prompt you to make a few changes in your life. So the text today is taken from Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 24 to verse number 28. The book of Proverbs chapter 30 is a good book. It starts with the words of Agar. He is not a very well-known figure in the Old Testament. And if that is not bad enough, Agar mentions 4 unappealing things that gives us wisdom for better living. Now, when you look at Proverbs chapter 30, there are 6 sets of 4 things. 4 generations that are evil, verse 11 to 14. 4 things that are insatiable, verse 15 and 16. 4 things that are inscrutable, verse 18 and 19. 4 things that are intolerable, verse 21 to verse 23. And then Agar says 4 things that are weak but wise, verse 24 to 28. And then lastly, he talks about 4 things that are very stately, verse 29 to 31. Now, I've got good news for you. We are not going to dive into all the six sets in respect of your time. We are only going to look from verse number 24 to verse number 28. Let me read that for you. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes or rock badgers are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. And a lizard or a spider can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in the king's palaces. Verse number 24, four things that are small but wise. Number one, ants. Number two, rock badger. Number three, locust. Number four, spider or lizards. New International Version calls it lizard. The modern language says it's the lizard. Revised Standard Version says it's the lizard. And then since I have a story from you from India about lizards, I'm going to refer this as lizards. That settles it. Now, none of the creatures are highly desirable. Chances are that all of us at Portico, none of us have a spider or a lizard as a pet. Now, I may be wrong, but chances are you have a cat or a dog or a parrot, but you don't have a lizard or a spider as your pet. Yet verse 24 tells us that four things are small but exceedingly wise. So let's take the journey and learn from them. Number one, learn to plan ahead. Learn to plan ahead. Verse number 25 reads, ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. The ants work today for tomorrow. From time to time, you will meet people who will talk about yesteryears, the good old days. We want to sit and think of what we have done in the past, but not the ants. Then there are others in the room who will live in the present. They work for today. They are busy handling crisis which crops up today. And then there are others who live in the future without making today count. You can easily identify those who live in the future. They use phrases like, when I get a big break, or when I get a job. And they like to sit and dream, but it never seems to happen. The ants, on the other hand, does not sit down. They don't sit and dream. The ant works for tomorrow. The ant teaches us that diligence is the mother of success. The Bible says that in the summer they are preparing for their food. Why? Because winter is not far behind. I think ants can tell us something today. The ants tell us to declare a war against winter. Now, my wife likes that. She would love to declare war against winter. We have got to work while it is summer. What about the winter season in your life? Things are well. The job is fine, everything is rosy. But what about the winter time? We need to watch out because it comes our way. Winter season comes to everyone. There is sickness and there are problems and there are ups and downs. It comes to everybody. Now look at the ants. Somebody has said, yes, ants attend picnics, but they don't relax. So while you're munching your hot dog or your Jamaican patties, I love Jamaican patties. The ants are working and carrying the load so that they are prepared for the winter. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6 to 11. These are blunt verses. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. That's blunt. I'm glad it's there in the Bible, because then I don't have to say it. You don't like it? Fight the winter, fight the Bible. We all need to plan ahead. Don't let the writings appear on the wall before you wake up to realize that winter has come upon you. Now let me present to you four types of workers. The threshold requirement is the first type. You are a worker. Simply defined, the one who goes to work is a worker. Simple as that. The second type, a level above, is the hard worker. And then a level above that is a smart worker. And I'm putting right at the top, a planned worker. Bruce Lee, a martial artist, filmmaker, and actor, said it this way. Hear this carefully. I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. Now here's the irony. Both of them are equally hardworking. Both have practiced 10,000 kick. One is hardworking and the other is working smart. That's the difference. And then the level right above that, the planned worker. Luke chapter 14, verse number 28, it kind of pushes us in that direction. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Won't you sit down and plan? Won't you sit down and project what you're going to do? Now you have heard this. People who fail to plan are planning to fail. How many of you have never heard this? I just said it right now. People who fail to plan are planning to fail. So we need to work on our goals. There are long-term goals, there are short-term goals, there are immediate goals. But I'm going to tell you to go a step further. Write down your goals. One of the reasons I encourage you to write down your goals is not about, I thought about it. You are telling yourself, I'm really serious about it. I'm going to write this down. I can come back and I can check my goal. I want to write it down. It is always good to know why you are doing something. When you have a dream, a defined goal, a written goal, I promised you it can be super powerful. Now, most of you know this is true. You're not happy with just getting a job. You're not really happy with just making some money, just winning a lottery. There is no sense of fulfillment in saying, I could, I would, I should. It is so much better to be able to say, I did. There's a deeper sense of fulfillment when you can understand why you did it. I could not or I would not just does not give us that same sense of satisfaction. Now, planning helps you to get there. And if you are willing to learn from our first small and wise creature, the ants can teach you to plan ahead. Number two. Learn to make wise decisions. Learn to make wise decisions. Verse number 26, it reads, Hyraxes or rock badgers are creatures of little power, yet they make their homes in the crags. The second creature in this chapter is the rock badger. It teaches us to make wise decisions. About the rock badger, Psalm 104, verse number 18 says, the high mountains belong to the wild goats, and the crags are a refuge for the hyrax. Now, rock badgers are about the size of rabbits. They are feeble creatures. They are really very weak. Now, if they are weak, how do they survive? If an eagle sees a rock badger from the sky, the eagle will have to pull down the whole mountain to get it. Rock badger knows how to make a wise decision. The rock badger knows its strength, and the rock badger knows its weaknesses. The rock badger will never have an ego problem. It never rolls up its sleeve and says, come on, eagle, get me. Let me try and explain this in a business context. In the 1980s in California, Honda was by far the brand leader when it came to motorcycles. To boast about it, Honda decided to run a poster featuring a Honda zooming along from the left to right with the headlines, Honda, follow the leader. The idea was to put the upstart Yamaha in their place. 1981, Honda CX500 turbo motorcycle, follow the leader. Chiat Day's media department, the rock badger in this story, they found out where Honda posters would be running, and they decided quickly to bring up on the right-hand side of every place where Honda posters would be running, they decided to buy that slot. And they ended up showing a Yamaha zooming left to right, seemingly in front of the Honda, and featured the headlines, Yamaha, don't follow anybody. So they really piggybacked on Honda's campaign. They used the competitor to do most of the work. Honda ended up looking pompous, and Yamaha looked like the rebel. Perfect imagery, perfect branding for a motorcycle. Make the right decision. Not letting their ego come in the way. Being creative. Letting the opponent pay for half the price of the promotion cost. Half the poster. Brilliant. In Kung Fu, we have an expression, Wu Wei, which is translated as action by inaction. It simply means that it is possible to get your desired results by doing things smartly. Rock badgers exemplify this. Wise decisions. That is what we all need to make. Rock badgers know where safety is, what it should trust. He finds the safety in the rock and stays in the cleft of a mountain. May I ask you, where lies your safety and your strength? Who do you trust? I would like to challenge you today to find your security in the presence of the living master and God. That is where all of our security is. It is in God we trust. And if my dad was in the room, he would have said, the rest simply cash. Psalm 18, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The wisdom of a rock badger will help you to keep away from the dangers of life. Make wise decisions. Don't let your ego come in the way. Number 3, learn to live together. Thirdly, it's the locusts, and they are teaching us, learn to live together. Verse 27 reads, locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. Now, locusts are unlike the crabs. They tell me that if you take the crabs and put it into the bucket, it's an open bucket, you're not putting a lid on it, you don't need to worry, the crabs will not come out. One crab will pull the other crab down. Now, locusts are different. They have no leader, yet they advance together in rank. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse number 9 to 12 seems to capture the same thought. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the others up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? The one can be overpowered, two can defend. They can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Together. Romans chapter 16, this is Paul. And Paul is saying, I greet Priscilla and Aquila, and I greet Epaphroditus, and I greet Mary, and I greet Andronicus and Junius. Then he goes on, Paul goes on in Romans 16 and says, oh, greet Aphiletus and greet Urbanus and Apelles and Aristobulus and Herodian and Narcissus and Tryphena and Tryphosa. And then Paul goes on to say, and greet my friends Persis and Rufus. And he goes on. And just like Paul is admitting the influence of other people in his life, locusts teach us the same. We are not alone. We are one body. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and 25. We are not alone. And let us consider how we may spur or encourage one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. The pastors are not here. And encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Together. There is power in being together in one body. Locust stands together, and together they can even rip a farm down. We are dangerous when we are together. We can climb mountains when we are together. How are we going to overcome problems? In one word, together. How are we going to conquer addiction and break through our bad habits? In one word, together. With God's people, together, we will worship and pray and fellowship and grow in the knowledge of His word, together. Yes. Lastly, number four, learn to keep trying. The lizard tells us, learn to keep trying. Verse number 28 reads, a lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in king's palaces. In the 1990s, I was living in Calcutta, India. Susan, my wife, and myself used to live in a two-bedroom apartment. And I was a consultant, so I would work during the day. And then I was doing my MBA studies during the night. And I was doing my business award from Cambridge, all of it at the same time. So there were days when I had to work during the day and stay up all through the night. Sleep was in short supply. Now, this is how I survived. I would go to Susan and say, Susan, could you make me some Indian tea? The good old chai. So Susan would go to the kitchen, and this is what would happen quite often. She would go to the kitchen, and then I would hear the scream. So I would go running to the kitchen and I would find Susan on top of the kitchen counter. And she's freaking out because there's a lizard in the kitchen. Now, the strong man that I am, me, I would escort Susan safely out of the kitchen. Then I would close the door. And then I would battle with this lizard. And I would win. Or I would win till this lizard came back again. Now, here is what would actually take place. I would close the door, and next to the window was a stick. It was a long stick. And I would pick up the stick, and I would gently go towards the lizard, and I would request the lizard. I would beg the lizard to leave through the window and not to come back for a day or two. Because just between you and me, and if you will never repeat this to anybody else, I was scared of the lizard. But that is not the worst part of the story. The worst part of the story is that the lizard always came back. Lizard or the spiders, they teach us to be persistent. You can chase them away, but they will come back. They won't give up. One of the tragedies facing us today is that we are giving up too easily. How does a lizard or a spider find its way into a king's palace? How does a lizard find its way into an aeroplane? Simply, they just keep trying. They don't get overawed. They don't give up. Reminds me of Thomas Edison. He spent $2 million on an invention that never worked. He failed over 14,000 times in his effort to perfect the incandescent light. But he knew the only way to progress was to keep trying. At one time, Edison was working in his lab. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. The assistant saw Edison had a smile on his face. The assistant said, "Edison, have you solved the problem?" He said, "No. That experiment did not work. Now I can start afresh." What an attitude. An attitude that teaches us to keep trying. The Word of God is telling us to look to the spider or the lizard and not to give up. Don't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." When my daughter Rachita was young, I would ask her to go and get me a spoon. And she would always run and get me a spoon. Now, she would be running and I would say, "Slow down, be careful. Have you noticed children run, they fall, they get up and they run again? And we are the adults who say, be careful, slow down, walk." I will encourage you not to learn perseverance from an adult. Learn it from a child. Children don't give up. Take a look at a child asking his or her mother for an ice cream. The mother says, "No." Half an hour later, you will find the child is licking the ice cream. What happened? The child did not go to a workshop on how to overcome objection. Now, there was no self-motivational, you know, online course. $99, upselling it to $108. Three more bonus on how not to give up. Now, the child is just persistent, and persistence runs deep in their hearts. People, the adults leave school. They are the ones who give up on marriage. They are the ones who give up on business. And worst of all, some of us even give up on God. Can we make a decision today? A decision not to give up. Let us not give up on God's love. And let us not give up on the people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." Fixing our eyes on Jesus. I've been wondering all week about how glad we should be that certain men have been faithful in spite of all the obstacles that they had faced. That Thomas Edison did not give up on the light bulb even though his helpers seriously doubted the experiment will ever work. That Michelangelo kept pounding and painting regardless of the negative remarks he received. That Corrie ten Boom's father said yes to frightened Jews who needed a safe refuge, a hiding place. That Jesus Christ held nothing back when he left heaven, lived on the earth, and went for it all the way to the cross and beyond. Ted Engstrom writes in his book, Pursuit of Excellence, about the faithful qualities of famous men. Hear this carefully. Cripple him because of childhood polio, you will have Sir Walter Scott, Scottish historical novelist, playwright, and poet. Lock him in a prison for 12 years because he refuses to give up on preaching, you have a John Bunyan, famous for his book, The Pilgrim's Progress. Bury him in the snows of Valley Forge, you have George Washington, first president of the United States. Raise him in abject poverty, you have Abraham Lincoln, president of the United States. Strike him down with paralysis, and you have Franklin Roosevelt, president of the United States. Burn him so severely that the doctors say he will never walk again. You have a Glenn Cunningham, the man who set the world's 1 mile record in 1930s. Make him deaf. You have Ludwig van Beethoven, German composer and pianist. Call him retarded. And you have Albert Einstein, awarded Nobel Prize in physics. And I must add to this list, put him on the cross, and we have Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. Is it possible that at the start of another year, that we can be faithful in what God has entrusted us? Think of it. That we can look at our obstacle as an opportunity for all things work together for good to them that love God. And we take this as an opportunity to get closer to God and make a commitment in our heart that we will not give up easily. So let's repeat the lessons we've learned today. From the ant, plan ahead. From the rock badger, make wise decisions. From the locust, live together or peace with others. And then from the spider or the lizard, keep trying. At the end of our sermon notes today is an application section. And I'm encouraging you to pick up an area of your life that needs attention. To select that one thing you must do today to bring about change. Not 10 things, not 20 things, because when you have too many, you do nothing. Bring it down to that one thing you feel the Spirit is prompting you that you need to focus on. And as you consider the possibility of changing for the better by the renewing of your mind with the help of God's word, please allow me to close with a true story. In 1837, Procter and Gamble got into the business of candles. William Procter was a candle maker. James Campbell was a soap maker. They were immigrants from England and Ireland, respectively, who had earlier settled in Cincinnati. Both of them married two sisters. They started Procter & Gamble in 1837. They were selling soap and candles, and their sale, 1837, their sale reached $1 million in 1859. In 22 years, they had become an extremely successful company. One young man in the company by the name of Thomas Alva Edison said, "We are not in the business of candles. We are in the business of light." The board said, "Why should we change?" The young man decided to leave Procter & Gamble, and while doing so, he said, "I will make bulbs so cheap that only the rich will be able to afford a candle." Look around you today. There are no candles in the room, lots of bulbs. Today, when you have to take your wife for an expensive, lovely dinner, now when I have to take my wife to an expensive place, I take her to a gas station. But when you have to take your wife to a lovely, expensive dinner, where do you take her? To a candlelight dinner. It is true. Candles have become expensive. Bulbs have become cheap. And it has happened because one person decided to look at things differently. If you're in the business world, GE did become bigger than Procter & Gamble. Historical fact. Now, I will confess to you, not everyone is willing to change. Take your hand, put it together, same thumb goes up, right or left, same thumb. Do it 500 times, we are creatures of habit. Get up in the morning, wear your pant, it's either your right leg goes first or the left leg, but whichever it is, for me, it's my right every time, it's the same leg. We are creatures of habit. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse number 5 says, if you really change your ways, think of the emphasis, really, if you really change your ways and your action and deal with each other justly. So I'm encouraging you at the start of another year, as you go to school, college, university, that you will consider applying God's word and allow God to change you. It begins here, it begins with you, and it begins now. So this is how we are going to close this morning. It's a little different. I'm going to request all of you to stand. Don't worry, I'm not calling you in the front, but just stand wherever you are. And we are going to repeat a pledge together, right? So I'm going to say the first line, you're going to follow it up, you know how that goes, right? And that's how we are going to end today. So let's repeat it with me. I pledge. Come on, you can do better than that. I pledge to an exceptional lifestyle. Believing with boldness, vibrant in action, and living in the Word. I pledge to dazzle the world around me, not to believe in the ordinary, but the extraordinary. So help me, God.